The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 14 after 7, Wild Sam and Steve. You wanted to make sure that people knew about the ham radio classes that are still going on. I highly recommend people get the license. And it's a great thing to have, not only for fun, but for potential emergency problems. What do you say?
Okay, well, the Cascade Amateur Radio Enthusiast, or CARE Club, is going to be putting on a class. It's probably going to run 12 or 13 weeks, depending on how fast we can go through the material. Bruce Cook has put in a huge amount of time into doing slides and just cleaning up the information, because they keep changing what they're going to put in the test. But it's going to start on the 23rd of this month.
Okay, so the 23rd. So what day of the week is that? Let's see, 18 days from now.
Saturday.
Are you sure about that?
No, my brain is old. And
yeah, because today is April 5th. So what is it going to be? The 22nd or the 29th?
It's Saturday, the 22nd.
Okay, Saturday the 22nd. So we're 14. Well, no, wait a minute. Let me get this right. I'm screwing this up now. Next week will be the 12th. We got the 6th tomorrow. It'll be the 13th next Saturday, or the 20th Saturday after that, or the 27th. What do you say?
Okay, go to carehamradio.com.
Thank you. Maybe that's just the better way to do it, because you have the right date up there, right?
Yeah, and we have the right date, and you can sign up there. You know, we'd appreciate people who are interested in signing up. The class is free. The club is putting it on for nothing. Star Auto Body is letting us use their facility out off of McCandless Road there. The only thing is, if you want the books produced by that.
Yeah, you got to pay for that. Yeah, there is some cost for that.
$50.
All right. There you go. Steve, thank you for the suggestion of the website. We'll just go to the dates there, get signed up. I'm a big fan of people getting licensed up. All right. And then you can use your ham radio skills out in the outdoors or in the wild or wherever you are if you're looking for Bigfoot. And we have Mr. Outdoors here, Greg Roberts from RogueWeather.com. Outdoor report sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, driven by Linex on Airway Drive in Medford. Hey, Greg, how are things?
Well, I heard Bigfoot and I knew that was my cue, so I'm
that's
ready.
Right. That's right. In all seriousness, you know, I was talking with Rick Manning at Americans for Limited Government, and we were talking about how the government is pushing the technological government. It's driving the system. Technology is driving the system. We got technology even in the outdoors, in the woods right now. Did you want to go in there and bite on that? I thought it was kind of something that you'd be interested to discuss, too.
Well, quick swig of coffee there. Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, you know, you talked about, you know, the overspread of technology and what's going on with AI right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where AI is pretty simple to say, I don't see the application, you know, out in the woods. I don't. I think AI is more likely to be tethered to, hang on one second. Pardon me, I got a frog in the throat. Okay, AI is going to be tethered to something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fixed to infrastructure, whether that's, you know, straight up internet, whether that's the wireless web over Medford and other cities now. It's going to be like that. Out in the woods, though, the technology being deployed out there is far more stationary in nature.
Mm-hmm.
But it has wide coverage capability. And what I'm talking about there, that would be satellite use. They are using satellites, you know, and they use that more not as general observation to watch what people are doing.
So they're not watching us then go to the bathroom in the woods, are they?
Right. They're looking over vast areas of land, and then when something happens, let's say a wolf is killed, they will go back and use the satellite to help pinpoint that area. And I think the best way to describe that technology, to see it actually, you know, in use, would be watch the movie Bourne Legacy. That's the one with Jeremy Renner in it when they were having their contract squabbles with Matt Damon. They actually show how that satellite use works as a general, and then they pinpoint down specifically what they want to see.
Now, would you then say, are you aware of any time that, let's say, someone who poached a wolf or did something wrong or killed a deer out of season or whatever it is, and you see these releases that come in, and they're looking for right. someone who wasted a bull elk, and you get those news releases here. Are they able to sometimes go back and actually find someone based on satellite technology who did the crime?
Currently, with the three wolves that turned up dead in Klamath County, that two of them were wearing collars.
Yeah,
I am going to be shocked if they are not going back and they're trying to go through the satellite imagery and see if they can find anything. That will not surprise me at all, and it doesn't happen exactly within minutes. Like, you know, movies and TV shows make it seem like. It's a painstaking process to go back through and review all of that stuff. But if it's a high enough priority case, they're going to do it.
All right. Now, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm calling for then. If we can be monitored to that granular level, even though it's slow and clunky to maybe find it right now, right? Then obviously, the real rebels of the future here, and I'm talking about the revolutionary types, the founding fathers types, mm-hmm. we need the invisibility cloaks. We need those right away, okay?
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Good luck. I mean, I, you're saying it, but I don't know how you possibly make that happen.
Okay, I know. Just, hey, a fella can dream, can't he? All right?
Yeah, okay,
can we do that?
A fella can dream.
All right.
The other technology that is definitely in use, and I will tell you, is currently in very active use in northeastern Jackson County, is an array of video cameras, trail cams, if you will, mm-hmm. but taking video and still pictures, and license plate scanners.
Oh, okay.
License plate scanners are out there. The array of video / still picture cameras are out there, and that is 100% in association with mainly for the wolves.
Oh. Now, so they're trying to track down who is going in the areas that the wolves end up dead in.
Yep,
okay.
Exactly.
Hmm. Okay.
They're keeping track of who's moving through, areas I'll say are sensitive because of the wolves, but I'm also hearing that it is looking far more likely they're going to start really significantly deploying that technology in areas where we have a lot of issues with chronic dumping.
That's what I was going, and that's where I was going to go next, because I had talked about this for quite some time that, when I go to broadcast sites that are up on, Fielder Mountain in Rogue mm-hmm. River is one which comes to mind. Gilbert Peak, when I go around Granite Hill Road in Josephine County, where KCMD's tower is located, and various others, there is a real chronic, serious problem with with illegal dumping going on, especially, someone hauls their derelict trailer out there and sets it on fire on the road, or they take their...
Yeah.
There was like an old... I think there's an old Kia Rio up on the Granite mm-hmm. Hill Road area that was just set on fire and just left for dead, up there, quite some time ago. And it's a big deal. It's a real problem. It's not helpful for the land and for people to go out there and responsibly use the public lands, I would add.
Well, and deploying those video cameras, especially against illegal dumping, mm-hmm. that becomes real easy, because then you can just sit and watch the footage and go, oh, there's that truck completely loaded with stuff heading up the road. Oh, gee, look, it's magically empty coming back. Mm-hmm. Or here's a vehicle towing a trailer that the trailer is no longer there, and we found the trailer sitting along the road. I'm a little shocked they haven't used this sooner
uh-huh.
and more widespread, especially in Josephine County, where, as you were pointing out, it's really weird. It's almost like somebody in Josephine County declared a sport of taking vehicles out into the forest and then setting them on fire. That... we just don't see that much of it over here in Jackson County, and it's a habitual problem in Josephine County.
But in Jackson County, there has been a lot of shooting up of gates and various other things that have gone on, a lot of vandalism there, I've noticed.
That type of activity, though, that's widespread and chronic throughout the West.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so. Interesting. So look for some more of that technology being deployed. So behave yourself is all I would say. Okay?
Yep.
All right.
And then you and I were talking, you know, off air, and I asked you if you were still involved with Pear Blossom, because while this weekend is definitely a blast of winter, Mount Ashland is open today through Sunday. Currently at the lodge, it is 16 degrees.
Wow.
Next week, totally different story, and if you're involved with the Pear Blossom in any way, I think you will much rather have temperatures that look like right now will be low to mid-80s versus low to mid-50s with a threat of rain.
Well, that's very cool. Now, I'm going to be running the remote on Pear Blossom Day. It's going to be Stan, the Rogue Gardener, out at the White City Grange Co-op. He's going to be doing his spring broadcast. It's going to be a perfect day to go out there and do the potting specials and things like that. That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, of course, one of the other duties I have, I've turned into, you call me Mr. Outdoors here. I am definitely Mr. Sports Announcer in the other aspects of life. I announce for Medford Rogues, but currently North Medford Black Tornado. I'm the announcer for the baseball team, and we have a doubleheader next Saturday, and I don't know how to explain it, but so far this year, for the Black Tornado, every single home game has come off under sunny and very warm conditions. And we had that happen on Tuesday when it was 80 degrees at game time. And we're looking to be probably mid-80s by the time we're wrapping up the doubleheader a week from tomorrow. So, yeah, that good luck for Black Tornado baseball is definitely still going where weather's concerned.
All right, very good. So the bottom line on the Outdoor Report this weekend, it's kind of wintery. Next weekend, just beautiful, warm and gorgeous.
Yeah,
right?
Next weekend, it's going to be a great time to be doing anything you want to do. And then, of course, with Pear Blossom hitting next weekend here in Medford, absolutely great weather for the Pear Blossom.
All right, very good. Outdoor Report sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, driven by Linex on Airway Drive in Medford. And Mr. Outdoors, RogueWeather.com's Greg Roberts. We appreciate that. See you next Friday, okay? Be well, okay?
You too, Bill.
It's 727 at KMED KCMD.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your one-stop accessory and protection shop, offering quality products like Linex spray-on bedliners, undercoating, and truck, Jeep, and SUV accessories. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is now your premier source for overlanding, off-road, and outdoor lifestyle products. So what are you waiting for? Stop on by and get prepared for your next adventure. They're located at 4840 Airway Drive, just off Vilas Road in Central Point. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority. Your department of adventure. If you don't plan on cooking tonight, plan on dining at Freddy's Diner. Friday and Saturday nights, Freddy's features their hickory smoked prime rib. Plus, there's everyday favorites like New York steak, smoked beef brisket, Carolina chicken, pressure fried chicken, hand-dipped beer battered salmon or cod, and more. The menu is designed to please everyone in the family. Easy takeout, too. And stick around on Friday nights for karaoke at 9 p.m. Freddy's is a great place to meet friends or make some. Freddy's Diner in Old Town Eagle Point.
It's amazing. What's right under your floor can impact your whole house. Musty smells, wall cracks, uneven floors, doors and windows that stick. These could all be your home sending you warning signs that there's a problem. But one simple call can be the answer to fixing everything under your home. For more than a decade, Terra Firma has been our area's number one solution for better basements, foundations, and crawl spaces. So why waste another day worrying? Make an investment in a more healthy, more valuable home. Call Terra Firma today.
Sweetwater Sanitation are your experts in the sanitation business. With over 20 years of providing septic services in Southern Oregon, Sweetwater Sanitation gets the job done the right way. Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, repair, and pump your septic tank so you can focus on enjoying time with friends and family and not a septic disaster. Give them a call at 541-821-1426 or check them out online at swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, their service is the difference.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
There's such a high percentage of Americans that if they get hit with a $1,000 bill that they weren't expecting, they can't pay it. That's how bad it is. I've lived there. It sucks. It's not fun. After years of targeting fossil fuels, now climate activists aim their lawfare at the agricultural industry. You know, every time the government, like California, suing oil companies and energy companies, and Biden's going to follow suit, who do you think pays for that? You do, because these companies have to hire these big, expensive law firms and pay them a fortune so that they can stay in business. And guess what? That means the cost of the product, the good, the service, that goes up for you. That's not good.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Every day, Cintas service reps help businesses get ready for the workday. They provide freshly laundered workwear delivered every week. Mats, mops, restroom, and cleaning supplies. First aid and safety products to help your employees stay safe. They even test and inspect fire extinguishers and emergency lights. Cintas helps keep your business running smoothly. See what Cintas can do for you. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
By the way, before we break for the weekend, we are going to have a Diner 62 Real American Quiz. Not right away. Give me a few minutes because we have, you know, all sorts of open phone time, the 8 o'clock hour on Find Your Phone Friday. And we're going to try to dig into that and have some fun. It's a great question. Also has some dad jokes of the day. We got to do that. Got to laugh at the absurdity of it all. And there's a lot of absurd, that is for sure. Also coming up after news, Captain Bill Simpson will be joining me. And we're digging a little bit more into the water quality issues on the Klamath. Wanted to get you the latest on that. And there is serious difference of opinion. You have Jefferson Public Radio saying one thing, nothing to see, nothing much to worry about. And yet other reports from scientists that are saying something differently. And we'll break that down with Captain Bill in just a moment of the Wild Horse Fire Brigade. It's, of course, he's founder of that, okay? Let's see. Checking the gold and silver markets. Holy man, it's on a tear again. It's on a tear again. In spite of the government pushing the economy, like I was talking about with Rick Manning, last hour, here really being the economy in many cases, the economy for gold and silver is very hot at the moment. 2312. It wasn't that. How long ago was it when, let's see, I was talking about a good time to start collecting and adding to your gold situation, your gold holdings. What was it, October? At October, it was at 1832, 1820. Was even a little bit lower than that a bit while back. We're now at 2314. Silver has also just been on a huge pop. It was about 24 just a few days ago. We're now at 27. The markets are speaking mostly, in my opinion, to the ability of the federal government to get control of spending. So odds are they're reacting and thinking that now they're not going to be able to cut interest rates, and yeah, this spending will continue, and no, it's an election year, so no one's going to want to cut any spending. And so, needless to say, a little bit more dollar issues, pressures on the dollar, that kind of thing. All right, and so maybe you're looking at gold at 2318. Now it's up to 2319 as I speak. Wow, just watching the futures go up and down here at the moment. Get the best price there. Get the deal. Get the service from J. Austin & Company, gold and silver buyers. Ashland in Grants Pass. Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. Grants Pass store is by appointment. Call them at 482-3715. These are the recognized experts on this. And if you have gold and silver that you're looking to either sell because you're saying, holy moly, I bought silver at 5 and I'm going to clean up right now, or I bought gold at 800 a number of years ago, I'm going to cash out. That's great if you need to free up some cash. Or maybe you're just saying, okay, central banks and the big money are buying gold. Maybe I should be adding to my holdings too. Either way, Jay Austin will take care of you. Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers. They're recognized experts. Ashland, Grants Pass, 482-3715, fortunereserve.com. KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
Good morning. I'm Marcus Villa with your NBC5 Morning News Update. C&D Lumber Company announces the permanent closure of its operations. According to a press release from the company, C&D Lumber faced many unprecedented challenges, such as market fluctuations, increasing operational costs, and timber supply issues. It says the Johnson family, which created the company, says they plan to continue to manage and grow its sister company, Silver Butte Timber. A woman suspected of starting a Medford house fire was indicted on multiple charges Thursday. 31-year-old Candace Hastings was indicted on several charges, including arson and aggravated animal abuse, both in the first degree. The charges stem from a house fire on Norwegian Avenue in West Medford that Hastings allegedly started. The house fire destroyed a home on the 800 block of Norwegian Avenue and killed two guinea pigs. Hastings was also indicted on animal abuse in the first degree, criminal mischief in the first degree, and recklessly endangering another person. The Klamath Tribes have officially opened a new transitional emergency shelter in Klamath Falls. The program will provide housing and a multitude of services for struggling tribal members working to become self-sufficient. The max capacity is 20 people, and priority is given to applicants coming out of detox, hospitalizations, or jail. That's a look at your morning headlines. For NBC5 News, I'm Marcus Veal. Have a great and safe weekend.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. Through April, purchase a set of four Cooper tires for practically whatever you drive, and you'll get a Visa reward card in the mail. Get $100 on top of the line Cooper Discover STT Pro Mud Terrains or Cobra Instincts for your sports car. Get $75 on five styles of all-terrain truck tires, including the popular AT3 XLT, and get $50 on three styles of all-season passenger tires, including Endeavor. Save on Cooper tires at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
NBC5 News is now on Cozy TV every night at 10. Here's how to find it. If you're on Spectrum, tune to channel 188. If you're receiving NBC5 over the air, tune to 5.2. And you can stream NBC5 News on Cozy at klbi5.com. Need help finding Cozy? Our engineers will answer your questions. Just call us. NBC5 News is now on Cozy TV every night at 10. Visit klbi5.com for a complete list of available platforms.
Hi, I'm Jim with the Beauty Mark Salon and Glitter Bar, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
738. Been keeping an eye on what's been going on with the Klamath River Dam destruction, the destruction of the infrastructure, and the most importantly, though, has been the pollution of the Klamath River area because of the sediment, which has just been there. It's been building up behind the dams forever and ever and ever. And then you just flush it down and blow it out, and we see the fish kills and everything else, but we're told everything's okay. Everything's okay. Nothing to see. Move along. We knew that we were going to have to destroy the river before we were going to save it. Captain William E. Simpson, naturalist, of course, founder of the Wild Horse Fire Brigade, rejoins the program, and you've been keeping an eye on this and not been liking what you see, eh, Captain Bill? Welcome back.
Good morning, Bill. Yeah, it's not very fun, and I'm living and riding from ground zero now here. And we have a lot of people looking from the outside in. Some of them are hundreds of miles away. Eric Newman from Jefferson Public Radio interviewed a guy named Matt St. John way down in Santa Rosa who from long range, he must have some special technology, because from that way down there, hundreds of miles away, he's able to, like, contradict a Siskiyou County Health Department that said the river was polluted. It has excessive heavy metals. But according to Mr. St. John and Mr. Newman, who biasly just interviews one side of the story, the river's fine, according to Mr. St. John, which, you know, it's shocking that a guy who's not even around here will contradict the experts that are at our health department. That's their job.
Okay. Now, if you don't mind me interjecting here, Captain Bill, I think what you're experiencing now is the new class of scientists, okay? The new class of scientists being hired today, especially in government-directed science, to find the outcome that the government and the other cronies are hoping to find, is the psychic scientist, right? Because the scientist is hundreds of miles away, hasn't done any water testing, but is just able to hone in psychically on the damage. I'm just kidding. You know
that. I know. Yeah. If it wasn't so serious, it would be laughable.
Yeah.
I mean, I wrote in a letter to Eric Newman at Jefferson Public Radio last night, criticizing him, because his report and his interview of this guy is so one-sided. I'm going to quote something from a famous professor. He teaches, this is a journalism professor, Jonathan Foster. And for decades, he has taught his students, and this is a quote, "If someone says it's raining and another person says it's dry, it's not your job to quote both of them. Your job is to look out the freaking window and find out which is true," end quote. So here we have Mr. Newman, who, total bias, just interviews one side of the coin. These are people that are delusional with regard to dam removal. They don't want to hear, they're like little kids that don't want to hear Santa Claus. It doesn't exist. There's no tooth fairy.
But isn't that the case for all of us? Because I was completely against dam removal because I was looking at it at destruction of infrastructure. Right. And I was concerned that there was going to be a big blowout. KRRC has never requested time, you know, to go on the show. I think everybody has retreated to their corners. I don't want to just completely throw everybody under the bus. I think there is a human tendency to do this. But it is obvious right now that the anti-dam removal people were ultimately right about what was going to happen with this river. Isn't that the bottom line here? In other words, it's actually raining. It's raining. There's no doubt that it's raining down there on the river.
Yeah, here's the thing, Bill. I mean, the scary part right now, okay, is we just saw we let 5 million cubic yards of this polluted sediment, and it is polluted. I sent you two graphics. Mm-hmm. There's been a study by CDM Smith.
Could you explain what CDM Smith is and why CDM Smith matters? Because CDM Smith was used to perform numerous studies of this area, was it not, in the past?
That's correct. Yeah, they did two different studies. And what was interesting is, okay, they were looking at the river originally or the lakes, I should say, to come in and get rid of the sediment. So the original plan, and I sent you the cover. These are both 300-page monster scientific documents. But the original plan was February, okay, of 2011, and it's called Klamath Settlement Process, Sediment Management in the Reservoir. So
the original study that CDM came out with was highly recommending the removal of those sediments before, you know, or with dam destruction, right? Actually removing them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And interestingly, when you read it, okay, and it was done, and the dates are really important here because this came out in February of 2011. They said, okay, they were going to dredge out the sediment, and then they were going to put it on properties around the lake, you know, not too far away because they didn't want trucking costs to be too high. And they were going to build these big bins and then decant the water out of the sediment. And they were talking about it can't be on more than 10 degrees slope, blah, blah, blah. So they had this thing worked out, but it was design science with a specific outcome that would allow for this $400 million project, okay? And somebody was obviously going to get this. And so they did this big study. Here's how we could do it. But then somebody said, well, you know, we're going to do it a different way. We're going to just send the stuff down the river. Well, then they decide, okay, we better do a different study. So then, so then they, in September of 2011, they did the screening level evaluation contaminants and sediments from three reservoirs, estuary of the Klamath River 2009-2011 by CDM Smith Stillwater Study. So that one says, oh, there's a lot of toxins in here. And, oh, they're organic toxins and heavy metals. So you got DDT, you got dioxin, you got furan, you got DDE, you got all the analysts of DDT.
All right. So let me just cut to the chase here, Bill. That second study then says that the sediments were dangerous, right? And was pretty clear. So this idea of just digging up the sediments or dredging the sediments out and then putting it in land around the Klamath River, you know, in that area, was a no-go. Because they found bad stuff, right? Is that where we found ourselves right now? Okay.
Well, it could have been. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes here. Maybe they figured out that they didn't want to spend the $400 million to put it up on the land and then deal with the runoff pollution and all the other stuff from it. So they figured, well, you know, they kind of looked over both directions over their shoulders. Anybody looking? Let's just flush this stuff down the river to the ocean. And even in this study, this second study I just mentioned, they say in there, dilution is the solution to pollution. But we see how well that's working in our oceans. Our oceans are becoming toxic because people think that way. You just can't dump your garbage into the ocean. And so this is, and the other thing people do not understand is the effect of a lake when you have a confluent of water that's traveling down 265 miles, in our case, of the Klamath River. It's laden with naturally occurring metals, heavy metals. We're mineralogically rich. And so, but normally they don't build up.
Yeah, but they build up because you had the dam. You had the dam there, and so you had the build up. Now, Jefferson Public Radio's reporting on it seemed to indicate that that this is nothing to be concerned about. And I kind of paraphrasing here. And maybe you can help me understand this, but the way they were looking at it is that this was naturally occurring because of the volcanic soils, and we've known that about Southern Oregon soils. It's true. We have a lot of those kind of issues, but is it does it make sense to say, hey, nothing to worry about here because it's natural toxins, or is it that we've just built up a huge decades and decades of toxins? You know, how do you see that?
Well, it's okay. It's not that it's just building up, Bill. I need to make a very, very important distinction here. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you have a dam and you're not just building up the toxins, you're concentrating them.
Oh.
Okay, they're going, the levels of the metals and the toxins are going up because they're coming out of solution, they're going into the sediment, and they're being concentrated. So they're way above the normal. Now, USGS, just completed a study and released it January 31 of this year that they looked at the sediments in the river bottom below the dams and above the dam. And then when you compare those and the analysis of the river bottom sediment, they also did the water, but the sediment on either side, they're lower than what you find in the sediment in the dam. They're much higher, the level. Mm-hmm. So what happens is when you let these highly concentrated levels down, they add to what's already in the river, and so it pops way up. And then, of course, some of these pollutants, these like lead, can go into solution. It's just like you stir your instant coffee into your coffee cup, and bingo, the solids disappear. It goes right into solution. Lead can go into solution, and it can penetrate into aquifers. And so there's we've got people, we've got livestock, and that's the other thing. There's livestock all the way down the river, and they pump water out of the river, and it goes into the grass, and then the animals eat the grass, and it's bioaccumulative. Same thing up here with the sediments on the lake. Hmm. Okay, they say, oh, we're going to plant it. It'll be fine. No, it will not.
Okay, so I guess I'm trying to understand here, Captain Bill, Captain William E. Simpson with me this morning. Are we looking at, no matter what the KRRC folks are saying, and no matter what Jefferson Public Radio might say, are we ultimately looking at an ecological kill shot on a lot of the Klamath River? I mean, could it be that serious? And maybe it will get cleaned up someday, but maybe it takes decades? I don't know. I'm trying to understand this. I'm not a scientist on these matters. All right?
Well, everything got dead from the top to bottom, including native species. So I just put out an article that's at the Globe. I sent you a copy of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have fishing guides that live on this river. They fished it and guided for 50 years on the river. And one of them sent me a pile of pictures of all the native species that are dead, that supposedly, according to Mark Branson and KRC, we didn't kill any native species. But down below, we only killed non-native. And, the poison can determine between native and non-native. Uh-huh, right. No, it doesn't. Okay, it kills everything. And it killed everything, including the invertebrates. It killed native species. We got salmon, steelhead, sculpin, short-nosed sucker, shad. Everything in the river is dead. And there's pictures of it on the latest article at the California Globe. Now, the thing is the sediment, it is a kill shot because we saw what 5 million cubic yards did, killed the whole river. And now we've got another 15 million cubic yards sitting here at the lake bottom, and these are canyons. So the next flood is going to carry a boatload of that stuff down again. And how many times can you kill the river and have it rebound? I don't know if you can do that twice. I don't even know if you can do it once to get away with it.
You know, it astounds me that this was permitted even by all of the so-called environmental quality control groups that are out there in the government, because all I would continue to say, and I know it's just kind of a simplistic way of looking at it, but if you or I were going to, and we had millions of tons of this stuff on our land, and we're saying, you know, I really can't afford to dredge it or dig it up and haul it away, I'm just going to blow it into the river. You know, and if you had wanted to try to get a permit for that, just as a regular everyday Joe, you would have been laughed out of the system, right? But yet, we decided that this was the best way to do this. It's really weird.
Yeah, apparently. And here's the other side. The disaster. This is like a rolling train wreck, Bill. All of this sediment up here. Okay, the Ag Commissioner, who's a very knowledgeable man, he testified that planting these sediments, this 15 million cubic yards of sediment remaining in the canyon. Planting it is not going to, he said, it will likely not stabilize it. And that means it won't be stabilized from wind erosion. It will, and this is 80% clay, according to GEC, Gethardt Engineering Consulting, who came down here and looked at the sediment from a mechanical perspective. It's 78% fine clay. That means it's microscopic. It makes the finest dust.
Does that mean we're going to have essentially dust bowls during dry times?
Not just dust bowls. Exactly. And the winds in these canyons in the summer can be up to 60 miles an hour. And what's going to happen is that this type of clay can hook onto the heavy metals and some toxins, and it can carry it into the air. So you have an airborne, the clay by itself, you can get silicosis. You know, people get silicosis. That's deadly. Mm-hmm. It ruins, you know, your lungs just turn to crap. But when you attach a toxin to a dust particle, then you can introduce these things into your lungs that cause cancer and other debilitating disease. So we've got a toxic dust storm potential here, just like at the Condit Dam. Nobody wants to talk about what happened at the Condit Dam. They had dust storms rolling on the communities up there, and they didn't have the toxins we have here. Okay, it's a lot different.
Okay.
And again, this is a canyon here, Bill. So if we get a flood, it's going to carry these heavy metals in the sediment. The clay by itself is terrible. It'll just wipe out the fish. But then when you add these heavy metals and things, it's going to end up taking it down the river and coating people's river banks. It's going to end up percolating into the water table. The sediment's even planted. The plants are going to suck up these toxins into their, you know, the body of the plants. And then what happens when the deer eat it and the other animals? Well,
and once again, it's the bioconcentrating then of various toxic issues in the environment. So, Bill, with the declaration of emergency, the emergency declaration that the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors ended up doing the other week there, has there been any reaction or any response from the state of California yet? Because the ask is to find some way to get, you know, in which people are going to have to admit that, A, we're wrong to be doing this to the river, and that we should be digging this stuff out and removing it for safer storage elsewhere, which, of course, would be incredibly expensive, which you can figure, which is why they didn't want to do this in the first place. It's a lot of money.
Right. I'm unaware of any response specifically. I don't know if OES down here has heard yet from Gavin Newsom's office, the governor, but I will say this. we need world attention on this, because they're holding this out as the model to go forward. And if this is the model, the smash and grab, you know, cheap and dirty, this can't stand. This is no way to do river restoration. And I want to see the river restored. You know, I got five grandkids that love fishing, and the river's dead. And it will remain dead as long as the toxins keep leaching down the river.
Pretty serious claim there. I'm just curious, given that tribal interests were very big on this dam removal and restoration aspect of it, is there any evidence that perhaps tribal interests are feeling rather taken for a ride? You know?
Well, they got them gagged down there. I think the hierarchy in the tribe is basically put the gag order on the regular tribal members. I mean, I've seen this before. There's a lot of grumbling. I hear there's a lot of sturgeon that have died down there, and they're not allowed to send pictures or talk about it. You know, there's a lot of things going on. But, you know, we've got to restore this river properly now. We're into it. Okay, mm-hmm. The dams are out.
Yeah, we're committed. We're committed. There's really no going back, right?
That's right. So let's do it right. That's my point here. Let's do it right. These guys got to get up here and get this sediment the heck out of here, because it's going to be a problem. And here's what they're going to do. This is part of their plan. They want that sediment to keep poisoning the river. And the reason they want it to be here and keep doing it, and so that everybody in 2 or 3 years when the river's still crap, of course, the Native Americans will be complaining and yelling, you know, okay, what happened? The dams, it didn't work. What's going to happen is then they're going to blame the ranchers in the Scott Valley, the Shasta Valley. Oh, well, it's got to be the ranchers. They're taking too much water. We got to get their water.
Oh, that's an interesting wrinkle. That's an interesting wrinkle and claim.
Well, that's the next move on the chessboard. I mean, that's what I would do. If I was them and I'm trying to get everybody's water, I'd leave that sediment there and let it poison the river. And then I would say, oops, you know, so sorry. It wasn't the dams. It was like the rancher.
Yeah, we didn't have enough we didn't have enough water to flush it down properly. It's an interesting take on that, Bill. I guess, you know what I'm wondering, though, is that nothing really changes until someone gets sued. You know how that goes a lot of times.
Right.
And I would be curious if there might be any legal remedies if someone's going to try to pierce that veil. And not that I would want to see Pacific Power under any more pressure than it's already been. This was all done in the first place because Pacific Power did not want these dams on their portfolio, right? And so they transfer the dams to a shell corporation that has no more money than what Pacific Power gave it, what Warren Buffett gave it, right? You know, that's how this ended up working. I'm just wondering if, along with the wildfire problems, if if there's going to be dam slapback, and they'll just say, yeah, you transferred it, but you didn't transfer away the liability. Just thinking.
Yeah, no, they didn't. Okay, there'll be some liability. Pacific Corp has got limited liability now, pursuant to the way FERC arranged it. But California and Oregon are on the hook for the whole nine yards. Mm. And that includes, the cost of doing these dams is way, way more than what they promised. I remember Branson telling the FERC guys, we guarantee we can do it for $450 million. That's not even close now. I mean, we're talking $1 billion probably. But then the lawyers that I talked to about this said this is going to be probably $1 billion just in lawsuit liability.
That's what I was wondering. But lawsuit liability against who is what I would wonder.
Well, they'll of course sue everybody and their brother and their dog. Mm-hmm. Mark Ransom, the whole entire board, American Rivers, KRRC, they'll sue everybody. And then you got to get out is the way they work it. And the state of California, the state of Oregon, and Pacific Corp. They'll all be named defendants. And so, and then everybody's going to have to try to wiggle out of it somehow, claim immunity or probably KRC. What they'll do is the lawsuit will be so big, they'll just say, okay, we're insolvent, we're going.
We're bankrupt, which is exactly what we were warning about for all these last years, you know, leading up to this.
Exactly.
The inevitable.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then our Oregon, hardworking Oregonians and hardworking Californians are going to be on the hook for this big mess. And here's my point, Bill. Let's let's go ahead and cut the losses now. Let's get the sediment out of here, and let's not end up with another couple billion dollars in nightmares in the future.
Oh, yeah, get the sediment out, pay the bill, and get it out of there so at least the river has a chance at being restored rather than a slow-motion re-poisoning every time we end up getting heavy rains and flooding.
Exactly.
Okay.
I want the Native Americans to have fish. I want to have fish. So, and I'm looking at this very carefully, and as a businessman and as a sportsman, and what we have to do is we have to get those sediments out. That's the big push right now. So we're hoping that the Gavin Newsom, he's really got any a token of honor and really does want the fishery to come back too, instead of stealing water from people. I hope that's not the motive, but it sure looks like it. And he gets involved, and we get the sediment out of here and restore the fishery.
Because all right.
That's what's got to happen.
All right. Captain Bill Simpson, William E. Simpson here. Hey, before we take off here, you were mentioning to me that you're suspicious that certain good reporters in the media are being silenced. Do you still kind of stand by that in some respects? You were talking about a reporter from KRCR in Redding. Or was it Sacramento?
Oh, absolutely. Google, I don't know how they're able to do this, but they're working apparently with Google and Facebook. If you type in Klamath Dams, I probably have 25 articles at Siskiyou News about the Klamath Dams. If you type in Klamath Dams, you can't even find Siskiyou News. They've got them locked down using the AI algorithm. And, you know, the only way we're able to get stuff out right now is through California Globe. And the AI hasn't locked them down yet, apparently. So, but I'll tell you what, OPB, Jefferson Radio, all the extreme left-wing operatives get top billing on Google search when you put in Klamath Dam.
Not surprising.
So their censorship is alive and well. That's got to get fixed. We have to be able to tell the American people both sides of what's happening.
Yeah, but didn't you tell me that there was a reporter there at one of the TV stations that got laid off?
Yeah, name. Yeah, I think that reporter got reassigned. I'm not privy to what happens in these corporations.
But in other words, she was actually doing a good job of reporting on that, on what was going on. And then ended up kind of mysteriously disappearing from the airwaves.
yeah, being reassigned. Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, that's the thing. We can't. If journalism is now just being a tool for KRRC, like Eric Newman is, in my opinion, he's just a tool for KRRC. He just regurgitates, he interviews who they tell him to. He gets their story out constantly. They don't publish our side of the story. And I'm at ground zero. I haven't seen Eric Newman driving up the road here. I haven't talked to Eric Newman. I don't know anybody else down here has talked to Eric Newman. But everybody goes, oh, Eric Newman. No, wrong. He's not doing journalism. He's just basically the PR agent for KRRC now.
We appreciate your take on it, Bill. And where can people view your latest? Because you've been writing so much on this. I want to make sure people have access to it. Since Google will not really point anybody to you, we want to make sure that people can see it. Where do you go?
Right. California Globe. If you type in California Globe, Klamath Dams, it brings up a bunch of stuff there. You can go to Siskiyou.news,
okay,
and find stuff there. Jay Martin's writing too. I mean, Jay Martin's doing a really good job. I've talked to some of the other reporters, and I'm trying to get them to be real journalists now. And I'm saying, look, you know, carry both sides of the story. Let the people decide. Don't try to convince them about your perspective. Do both sides of the story. And the thing is I'm writing and living at ground zero. So, you know, I don't care what these guys that are 300 miles away think. I'm right here. I smell it. I look at it every day.
And, by the way, when you smell it, it doesn't smell good either from the sounds
smell,
of it.
Yeah.
All right. Captain Bill, appreciate the take on it. And, you're always welcome back, and have as good a weekend as you can. And, try not to breathe in the sediment. Okay. If you don't mind. All right.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Yes, yes. Don't breathe. Don't look at the sediment because it'll scorch your eyeballs, I guess. This is the Bill Myers Show.